Hello, everybody. Today's title for the sermon is God's Church, God's Purpose. And the passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Right? Each one of you is a part of it. Last week, the title was Our Plan, God's Purpose. Today for the New Year's service, for the upcoming year, I want to give a message. It's God's church and God's purpose. Okay? God's church and God's purpose. This passage says, "You are the body of Christ. You are the church." Church is not a building. It's not an individual. It's not about the most talented. It's not about the most spiritual. When it comes to the church, I believe you are not here by accident. When it comes to Catalyst, you are divinely here. There's a power in the community of believer. There's a purpose in the body of Jesus Christ. You're divinely here. We have the power of God, and we have purpose as a church. But when it comes to the church, some think of church humanly instead of spiritually. Instead of saying, it is divine that we're here. No, it's really up to me what church I go to. And church has no power. It's a human institution with human weaknesses. Church doesn't have a purpose. Church is just about tradition and ritual. I want to ask us for 2021, let's believe what the Bible says about the church. And I know 2020, it's been difficult. It was a very difficult, hard year. Saying that it's difficult is a kind of an understatement. It took a toll on each one of us. Last Sunday, when I was preaching the sermon, I don't know if you could tell, but I was getting a little emotional last Sunday. You know why? Because I was thinking about all the things that you went through in 2020, what each one of you went through this year. And as I was preaching and I was thinking back, the difficult things that we went through as a church, I had to hold back tears last Sunday. Because of the difficulties, it's easy to fall into the trap of seeing the church humanly. And as your pastor, I'm not exempt because I'm a lead pastor. I also get tired and weary. I also have to struggle with depression. There are things that worries me. There are many things that I am afraid. But something happened last week that encouraged me a lot. I don't think that person realized how much it encouraged me. But I received a text from a church member, and this person texted this. It was a simple text, but I needed it. He says, "This the closest I've seen on Acts 2 church." This person said, "It's right here at Catalyst." It's right here at Catalyst. And when I read that, I was very encouraged. I was reminded, and I was assured. Right? When I said assured, I tapped into this biblical faith. And that's what I'm asking you to do when you think about Catalyst. Tap into this biblical faith. What is this biblical faith? It says assurance about what we do not see. There's this assurance about what we do not see. See Catalyst, see the church through not humanly, but spiritually, through the eyes of God instead of human eyes. What does the Bible say about the church? Matthew 16, verse 18 says, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And Jesus says this about you and me, about Catalyst, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The gates of hell will not prevail against it. If the if the demonic cannot prevail against the church, this pandemic cannot prevail against Catalyst. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 says this, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, please be assured of what you cannot see. Let's look with the eyes of faith. It says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. You are called out of darkness and into God's marvelous light. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul tells the church that he came in weakness. Why? So the church will know the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in wisdom of men, but the power of God. Matthew 16 says this about you and me. As we proclaim the gospel to the whole creation, right? Whole creation. It's not just human being. Right? It's the whole creation of God. As we disciple nations, these signs will accompany the church. In the name of Jesus Christ, we will cast out demons. We will speak in new tongues. We will pick up serpents with our hands, drink deadly poison, and it will not hurt us. And we will lay our hands on the sick, and they will recover. They will recover. And of course, our church theme verse, Acts 1:8, I must have preached like 100 sermons on this, but this is our verse. You will receive power. It doesn't say you might. Believe this with me, church. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. As a believer, the Holy Spirit is in us. We don't have to search for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I don't know what your circumstances. You might be thinking, you know, maybe next year I'll do better. Maybe when I move to a new house, maybe if the circumstances change. No, it says the Holy Spirit is living in you now, and you have this power of the Holy Spirit. And no matter where you are, the power of the Holy Spirit will move in you. No matter if you're in Jerusalem or Judea, Samaria, or to the ends of the earth. That means you're not here by accident. God has divinely and purposefully brought us together. God has divinely brought us together. God wants you and I to encounter his presence, his love, know what a kingdom community is. God wants us to know his power and his purpose for his church. You know, like any church, Catalyst is not perfect. You know, some might be looking for a place where they will never be disappointed. There will be where there's no conflict or misunderstanding, a place where you won't be misjudged, where there's no weakness in character, a place you never have to experience rejection, pain, and hurt. Well, then I'm just going to speak this truth to you. You will never find that church. You'll never find that church. You know, I shared this with you when I was in college. You know, I was disappointed in the church. I told my pastor, I want to find this church where they won't reject you. They'll always love you. And you know what my pastor said? Well, if you find that church and you go to that church, guess what? It's not perfect anymore because you're there. Okay, I thought nobody's laughing. Anyway, Catalyst is not perfect, but you and I are called to see, no matter through the imperfection, we could do this. You and I are called to see our church with spiritual eyes. Instead of responding with brokenness, bitterness, and disillusionment, even in the midst of imperfection, we have to respond with faith. Have this assurance of what we do not see. Have this assurance. You know, to have a healthy physical body, and say you have an unhealthy physical body, to have a healthy physical body, you have to see the healthy body. But if you're saying, if you believe it's not going to happen, you know, you're saying to yourself, you know, you look at your body, it's not healthy, and go, others can do it, but not me. This is impossible. If you have that mindset, if you have that belief system about your physical body, you will never get healthy. You'll never get healthy. You'll just go up and down, up and down, up and down. You have to look with faith, assurance of what you cannot see. God is asking us to do that for the church, the body of Jesus Christ. For 2021, let's see the church with spiritual eyes of faith. Meaning, what does that mean? Let's see each other because you are the church. Huh? You are the church. Now put the Zoom on gallery view so you can see each other. You are the church. Let's see each other with spiritual eyes of faith. That's what it means. We're not looking at like Catalyst 10 years from now. That's not what it's saying. That's not what I'm asking you to do. You know, 10 years from now, maybe we have 10 churches planted. We're supporting 30 missionaries. That's not what I'm asking you to do. I want you to see one another and see each other with eyes of faith. Because you are the church. You are the church. So what am I asking you to do now? You know, how can we see eyes, the church with eyes of faith now? Let's value one another now. Value each other now. Value somebody else now. Church doesn't grow because of one person. If it does, that's not a healthy church. Powerful church, a biblical church, values one another. No matter what the size of the church. Doesn't matter if there's three, or there's two or three gathered in his name, he is in the midst of us. Doesn't matter if there's 1,000. A powerful biblical church values one another. You know, this principle God taught me over the years, and this is a very important principle, to value others. I believe this principle has opened the spiritual door for me to be used by God in the church. You know, I have seen many focus on just their own thing, meaning, you know, in the church, my gifting, my calling, my purpose that God has for me, you know, my own calling, what God wants to do with me. Well, if that's the only thing that you focus on, there's going to be a spiritual ceiling to how much God can use you in the church. I'm telling you, this is one thing that God has, one principle that God taught me, that has helped me, where God could use me in the church. Because look at your pastor, okay? Look at your pastor. You know, when I look at myself, I'm not putting myself down, you know, I'm just being honest. I'm not that talented. I can't sing, right? I can't play an instrument. You know, High school, elementary, high school, college, I had average grades. I'm being honest with you. I had average grade. I went to average college, okay, a state college. I went to an average college. I don't know how to write that well. I don't know if you know me. Just to write a paragraph, it takes me an hour. I'm not athletic. But one thing that keeps raising the spiritual ceiling to be used by God in the church is this. And this is in my heart. And I'm not gonna, put that down because this is very precious to me, right? That one thing that I have that God uses me in the church, this is the reason God uses me in the church. I want to see people rise up. I want to see others walk out their destiny. Again, as a pastor, I don't care if I'm popular. Go to our YouTube page, Catalyst, and look at Pastor Sam's sermon. Five views. Like seven views, maybe. It doesn't bother me. Those things don't bother me. I don't care if I'm popular or people know me. I don't care if I pastor a big church or a small church. But there's something in my heart. I want to see you walk out your calling God has for you. I want to see someone, and it makes me very happy, right? It makes me very happy. Yeah, if somebody could preach better than me in the church. If somebody's preaching, but I am okay with them preaching 90% of the time if they're better than me. I'm okay with that. I want to see someone who is more effective leader than me in the church. This kind of valuing other is called, it's called a heart of the Father. It's called heart of the Father. And this is my sincere desire for you. I believe it's a heart of a spiritual father, for you. I want to see you do better than me, spiritually, in every area of life. I want to see you do much better than me. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 says, there are many teachers, but not many fathers in the church. Right? Did you guys hear that? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 says, there are many teachers, but not many fathers in the church. In order for the church to walk out God's purpose, we don't need, we need not more teachers, but we need more people who can be spiritual parents. We need more people. In one, another word, we need more people who knows how to value others. During difficult time, especially during this difficult time, God gave us one another to help each other go through the difficult time. If we, during this time, if we become selfish, if we become self-focused, instead of valuing other, we blame, you blame, you become judgmental, you become critical. The difficulty will become more difficult. The difficulties will become more difficult. We pray and ask God to help us in difficult time. Humanly, we expect God to change the circumstances. But God answers that prayer by giving us one another to value one another. Another word for valuing other is loving others. And so when you think about love, we all know 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is patient, right? If you know how to value others, you know how to be patient with one another. That's what it's saying. Love is kind. If you know how to value other, you are kind to one another. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil. And when you value one another, you do not delight in evil, but rejoice with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. You know, when many, when they read this passage, about being patient and kind and not envy, don't boast, you know, always trust, always hope, always protect. We think about, the focus is not on one another a lot of times. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. The focus is not on one another, but the focus is on those who are difficult to love. The high maintenance people. Someone with a personality disorder. Somebody who's very selfish or self-centered. Someone you can't get along with. No, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 is talking about the body of Jesus Christ. It's asking you, you know, if you got on gallery view, to love each other here. You know, I need to remind you, this passage is focused on the church. The focus is not on those you have hard time with, those who are high maintenance, those who make you stumble, those that are hard to love. It is those who are on this Zoom screen. Right? Again, put it on gallery view. Look at each other. Look at the names. Right? God is asking you, value them. Value them. 1 Corinthians 13 says, you can speak with angelic eloquence, but if you can't value the people on this Zoom meeting, it is just noise. You can have a faith that moves mountain, but if you can't value, if you don't know how to be patient, if you don't know how to be kind, if you don't know how to protect and trust and hope in the people that's in this Zoom meeting, those great achievement is nothing. You can give everything you own to the poor, even become a martyr, but if you don't know how to value the person that's next to you on the screen, it says you are stuck. You're stuck. So 1 Corinthians 13 is to remind us, you know, more than gifts, you know, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about all these spiritual gifts, all these talents that each one of us have. More than gifts, we need to love one another. And how do we love one another? We need to love one another by valuing one another. So how do we value one another? Again, we need to meditate on 1 Corinthians 13 by being patient with one another. Get rid of every envy. Don't boast about yourself. Humble yourself before one another. Don't get easily angry with each other. Don't keep a record of wrongs. Delight in each other. When we come together, it's supposed to be the, you know, it's not when you're playing video game, you should be the happiest. It's not when you're watching a movie, you should be the happiest. When we come together like this as a church, we delight in each other. We protect one another. We trust and we hope in one another. And especially in such time as this, we persevere with each other. Right? We persevere. And this is a time to persevere. How do we value? We persevere through the difficult time together. We don't abandon one another, but we fight together and we fight for one another. We build each other up. We hope in each other. We pray for one another. We carry each other's burden. We believe in one another. And together, we will inherit nations. And God's people said, amen.